the Shore Shame Podcast, shining a light to the nations.
Shalom, everybody. I'm Bill Cloud, and welcome once again to our Torah tidbit. This time, the Torah tidbit is taken from the portion called Shalach Lecha, which means send for yourself. And it's referring to when the 12 spies were sent into the land of Canaan to see how they were going to take the land. Now, this event came approximately 2 years after Israel had departed from Egypt, meaning that only after 2 years, Israel was at the threshold of crossing into the land of promise. And so, as our Torah portion begins in Numbers chapter 13, it says, "And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, Send men to spy out the land of Canaan, which I am giving to the children of Israel. From each tribe of their fathers you shall send a man, everyone a leader among them." Now, I find it interesting that the Hebrew word that is translated here as spy out, or in some translations, to search out, is the Hebrew word called tur. And so, they were sent by Moses to tour the land and see how to take it, not if they were going to take it. It's also possible that one of the objectives of this mission was to see if now was the appropriate time to enter into the land. In selecting those men who would go, Moses was told by God to send a prince, or that is, a leader of a tribe, which would then hint that Moses chose people that either he trusted them or he chose people who had gained respect among the congregation. Now, of the 12 people who were chosen, the most prominent, of course, were Caleb, who was from the tribe of Judah, and Hosea, or later Joshua. Their prominence was determined by the fact that they actually believed God was able and willing to deliver the land to the people of Israel. Now, although it doesn't really have any bearing on our topic today, another notable name that is among these 12 is the man from who is called Setur, a name that in Hebrew means hidden. And I think it's interesting to make note of this because the word Setur, or the name Setur, contains the word tur, or spy. But it's also the only name in all of the Hebrew text, at least as far as I'm aware of, that totals to 666. So make of that what you will. Now, when these tourists returned to the camp of Israel, they brought with them, according to the Bible, a cluster of grapes from a place that was called Eshkol, which literally means cluster. And when they brought these grapes, they carried it on a double pole. That was the evidence that Canaan was a land just as Moses had promised, a land that is of milk and honey. And so they began their report to the people. However, we see that they did not go directly to Moses to give this report, but to Moses and to all of the people. And so it's recorded for us in verses 26 through 29. "Now they departed and came back to Moses and Aaron and all the congregation of the children of Israel in the wilderness of Paran at Kadesh. They brought back word to them and to all the congregation and showed them the fruit of the land. Then they told him," we assume that is Moses, "they told him and said, 'We went to the land where you sent us. It truly flows with milk and honey, and this is its fruit," that is what they brought from Eshkol. "Nevertheless, the people who dwell in the land are strong. The cities are fortified and very large. Moreover, we saw the descendants of Anak there," or the giants. And so as they give this report, instead of accentuating the positive, they chose to focus on the negative. And as a result of their demoralizing report, the people of Israel lost faith. They lost faith in God, and they lost the willingness to go in and to possess the land. And for them, this was the turning point. Of those who had been born of slavery, given the opportunity to be free, they chose to believe this report, and as a result, were destined to die in the wilderness. Not only that, but the conquest of the land was delayed for almost 40 years. Now, on the other hand, those who were born in the wilderness and those who didn't know Egypt firsthand anyway, those are the ones who would later possess the land of Israel. So now, considering the enormous cost that was paid by those who left Egypt, what would have happened if this exhibition had never occurred? In fact, why was it even necessary to send the spies into the land in the first place? Now, in my opinion, Moses' objective and that of the 10 spies was completely different. Moses sent them into the land to see how they were to possess the land. And at least 10 of those 12 spies went into the land to see if they could take it. So it's interesting to note in this context that when God said, Shalach Lecha, that it says literally, you send for yourself, which seems to say, if you, Moses, if you want to send them, I'll leave it up to you. And so there is this hint that the decision was in fact left to Moses, and that with the knowledge that God knows what's going to happen. So if we summarize the report given about the land, they said, it's a great place, but it's in a bad neighborhood. The people are fierce, the cities are big, they're many, they're fortified, and beyond that, there's giants there, and we're like grasshoppers in their sight. So the message was that even though it's a great place, there's no way that we can possess it. At one point, we read that Caleb, who was at that time inspired by Moses' attempt to encourage the people not to give in to their fears, Caleb stands up and he tries to silence the naysayers who were at that point yelling at Moses, only to be shouted down himself by these other 10 leaders. In verse 30, it says this, "Let us go up at once and take possession, for we are all well able to overcome it. But the men who had gone up with him said, we are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we." So at this point, we see, unfortunately, that the congregation of Israel ended up listening to the majority report, believing that, even with God's help, the inhabitants of the land were stronger than they were. So we are told that the 10 spies spread an evil report about the land itself. The word spread suggests that they slandered the land, not in the presence of Moses, but by going about murmuring among the people, their accusations against the land moving through the camp like a cancerous cell through a body. Now, I find it a bit ironic that the spies' report made the claim that the Promised Land was one that devoured its inhabitants, and that's what the people believed, probably never recognizing that the evil report is what devoured them. We could say that they chose to live by sight instead of by hearing. And what I mean by that is they chose to believe what man was showing them and what man was exhibiting to them rather than what God was telling them, what God was promising them, in fact. And on that note, it is important to consider that our center of balance as a person is not to be found within our eye, but within our ear. And if we aren't hearing what God says, in spite of what we might see before us, we will not be able to stand upright and we will certainly not be able to walk straight. And for a believer, that would be problematic. And so then the people were overwhelmed with fear. They heeded the slander and they began to weep. And then they begin to consider that it would be better for them to die in Egypt or even the wilderness than it would be for them to proceed into the land. They felt that it was best to try and return to the bondage of Egypt with someone else as their leader. And so then, the sin of the 10 spies was much more than thinking they could not take the land. Their sin was that they convinced others that they could not take the land. They allowed their doubt and their fears to infect an entire nation. And by the time the people of Israel decided that, well, maybe we should go and try to possess the land, at that point, Moses let them know that God was no longer among them in that regard, because by that time, the window of opportunity had closed. So then, what made the evil report evil? In other words, what the spies reported and what they stated about the land was true in respect to the cities being many and fortified and to the presence of giants. So then, what made it evil? It seems to me that it is the fact that they set out to further their agenda, which is not to go into the land, by infecting everyone else with their fear. As a result, they influenced an entire nation to neglect their calling. They caused them to place more importance on their fear of man rather than their fear of God. And here is why I find this to be of great importance to you and to me. Are we repeating the error of the 10 spies if we consistently emphasize what man is doing to the degree that we sow fear among God's people? In other words, fully understanding that we are indeed living in perilous times and that there are powerful and influential men and women in this world who are perfecting evil in our day and time. If I could put it this way, there are giants in the land. There are also fortified cities, so to speak. There are all these obstacles that seem to be impenetrable. Still, if all we ever talk about is what man is doing, whether that's black helicopters and FEMA camps or other government conspiracies, and if we instill fear of man in God's people, aren't we doing exactly what those 10 men did so long ago? Now, I realize that some would interpret what I'm saying here as an invitation to stick our heads in the sand and say, well, everything's okay. No, all is definitely not well, and it's getting worse by the day. Nevertheless, as God's people, we are given a mandate. We have a mission. We are to occupy until He comes. We are to see how we're going to take the land, not if we're going to take the land, in spite of the fact that there are giants and fortified cities, so to speak. So I believe it's going to boil down to this for you and for me. Who do we fear more? Pharaoh or the God of Israel? The giants or the one who gave life to the giants? The Antichrist or the Christ? So let me share this verse with you that's taken from Isaiah that kind of underscores the point. And God is speaking and He says this, "Do not say a conspiracy concerning all that this people call a conspiracy, nor be afraid of their threats, nor be troubled. The Lord of hosts, Him you shall hallow. Let Him be your fear, and let Him be your dread." In other words, ladies and gentlemen, if we are going to fear anything or anyone, it should be the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And so, in view of the fact that we are living in very perilous times, we have to ask ourselves, whom shall I fear? That's it for this week's Torah Tidbit. Thanks for joining me. Shalom.
Like what you're hearing? Become a Bill Cloud Premium Partner to watch or listen to hundreds of hours of teachings and resources on demand. Go to BillCloud.com/subscribe to start watching today.